Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
What's up, guys? This is Talking the Draft Podcast. I'm your host, Connor Livesey, joined by my co-host tonight, Dalton Miller. We are joined by a very special guest as Marlon Toipulotu is on the show today. Excited to have him on USC Defensive Tackle. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're hanging in there. I'm in Virginia. Dalton's in Dallas, so we've been dealing with a lot of snow and ice here recently. So I wanted to start. Where are you currently training at? What state are you in? What have you been working on?
I'm in Arizona right now. I'm training at Exos in Phoenix. So
you're staying out.
You don't have to deal with any of it.
Right. I'm in the sun right now, so I'm good.
Lucky. Have you spent much time in Arizona in the past, or how you liking it out there?
I love it. It's basically like just like Cali, so like basically no difference. So I'm really enjoying it.
You said you were at Exos, right?
Yep.
Oh, cool. So I know. Do you know when your pro day is?
Yeah, it's on the 24th of March.
Okay, cool. So we always ask this question when the combine is actually happening. Obviously, the combine's not happening this year. What are you guys kind of working on right now? I know a lot of time is spent on drills, you know, getting the 40 times right, getting all that stuff straight. But I know you guys do a lot of positional work. You have defensive coaches in there as well, working on technique, you know, all that stuff. What have you been spending a lot of your time working on this offseason? I know you just got back from the Senior Bowl. We'll get all into all that later. But as far as training at Exos, what's your kind of game plan been there?
Yeah, I mean, basically what you said, just been training for a combine prep. I mean, just trying to get ready, get our 40 times right, our bench press numbers good, and then just working with our position coach. And luckily, we've been having Coach Brandon Jordan. I don't know if you guys know about him, but he's based out of Houston, but he'd be coming up and been training us as a defensive line. That's been great.
I always love asking this question because you have edge rushers on, you have interior guys on who – they're obviously working on hand work. They're working on footwork as pass rushers, as run defenders. What's been the coolest thing that you've kind of been working on, and maybe something that you didn't really do a lot at USC that they're kind of teaching you to get ready for the drills and then the NFL?
Right. So a big thing about me was just like pass rush. So having Coach Brandon Jordan just like continuing to help me become a better pass rusher, I felt like that's been a lot of help for me just trying to take the correct steps, using like good moves that Coach Brandon Jordan been teaching us. So it's just been a great experience so far.
And with that, is there something specifically that you really wanted to improve when it comes to your pass rush, or is it just generally?
Just in general, but like for me personally, just trying to get like a finesse move down for me. So what we've been learning with Coach Jordan was basically like the double hand swipe and the cross chop. So we've just been working on those. That's something that I've been trying to get down to put into my arsenal. So
is there anyone in the NFL that you kind of – I always say model your game, and I know a lot of guys are like, oh, I don't want to model my game after anybody. I want to be myself. But, like, who's the guy you kind of watch and you're like, man, like, I see myself playing like him. I can see myself being able to kind of develop into the same player he is, maybe pass rush moves, stuff like that. Who's somebody you kind of pay attention to and study a lot?
There's like, two players that I really try to just watch their game and like try to study, and it's Deron Payne out of Washington football team, and then Geno from the Bengals.
God, I love those answers because you always get like, oh, I want to be like Aaron Donald, you know, right. Like, and of course, I'm sure you love Aaron Donald, you watch Aaron Donald, but I like Deron Payne was a favorite of mine coming down the draft a few years ago out of Alabama, and a lot of people were like, it's funny you say that because kind of like, so like underrated dude, like. People were like, they liked him, but they didn't really talk about him a lot. Now he's just such a stud with Washington. I mean, just how good he is against the run and then the pressure he can provide from that interior. Definitely can see that being a good kind of comparison for you.
Right. Yeah. That's the reason why I watched him, like just him in Alabama, just how good against the run he was at Alabama, and then just seeing his progression as a pass rusher in the league, right. Just development stuff. So that's something I'm hopefully trying to do in the future.
And I like that you brought up two kind of different players at the end of the day, because Daron Payne, a little bit bigger, a little bit, you know, more physical against the run. And then Geno Atkins, obviously one of the best pass rushing three techniques that we've seen in a really long time. Where do you see your role being at the next level? Because we kind of saw you, you know, play a little bit on the outside, a little bit more in 2018 and 2019. And then you played a lot shaded off the center in 2020. First of all, what weight were you playing at this year? And, you know, where do you see yourself playing at the next level?
Okay, yeah. So this past season, I was playing around. I'd always float between 305 and 300. And then just being around that weight, I felt like I was versatile enough to play the three tech, even though I was mainly positioned at the nose. But wherever team, picks me up, I'll be happy to do whatever.
Is 300 right about like where your comfortable weight is, or?
Between 300, 310, like around there, like right now, I'm probably like 307, 308. So like, I still feel comfortable enough to move around and still be explosive and things like that. So
I really like that. Cause like you play, I know when, you know, on the size of USC, like they have you listed, I think you're listed at like 6'1", 2", or 6'1", 3", they get you at 305, 6'3", 305. And I think the good thing that, you know, when you tell me you were only playing at around 300, like I thought you were probably playing at like 310, 315, like you play explosive, but you play a lot stronger and a lot bigger than that, you know, 300 pounds would suggest, which is obviously good. Cause if you can hold up against the double teams, you can play. I know you played the nose a ton at USC. So the ability to play, hold up against the run, eat double teams, stuff like that, at only 300 pounds, that's just going to make your pass rush and explosion even more impressive. So that's awesome.
No, yeah, that's why I like watching Geno Atkins, just because I feel like we kind of have the same measurables.
Right.
And then just watching how he plays, like how much hustle he has in his game, like that's something I try to – I take pride in my game myself, so.
It's funny because I feel like a lot of fans, I mean, even a lot of just people in general, like analysis in general, like they think like under 315, you're a three tech, and then over 315, you're a nose tackle. And I'm like, dude, there's some really good like guys that play that nose who aren't, you know, 315, 325 pounds. Like you don't have to be 340 pounds nowadays to be able to play inside and eat those blocks. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it really turned on your tape in 2020 and 2019. You see a guy, like I said, that plays much bigger than 300 pounds. So I think that's great that you can keep that burst and then play with that much power at a 300 pound, you know, 310 pound limit.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. Just trying to get my technique. Obviously, I got more stuff to do, but I think technique is like a big thing.
Kind of off of that technique, you know, the one thing that I noticed a lot watching your tape was your ability to dissect and get rid of blocks super early in the process. I feel like when I watch a lot of defensive tackles, they try to, you know, force it late, and then they're not able to make plays kind of outside of their frame. I feel like you have some really good range in the short area. Is that something that you like really focus on trying to get off of it early? And then with that, what is your favorite way? Because I saw you get rid of blocks a couple different ways. Is there a certain go-to that you have for getting rid of blocks in the run game, or is it just kind of feel for the certain play?
Right. So it's just, first of all, just whatever my coach at USC was teaching me. So just trying to play my blocks like the correct way, and then just trying to get off as violent as possible. So whether that's an arm over, with some I like to do, and what we were taught at USC was mainly the arm over, or just try to get off the block with quickness and things like that. Mm-hmm.
You showed a snatch pull a lot at USC too to get home as a pass rusher, and I saw it some at the Senior Bowl as well. Is that something you developed like later in your career at USC, or is it something that you've always kind of had in your tool belt?
I mean, just playing those, like always getting the double teams off the pass rush. That's something that I just try to – that I learned from my coaches and just try to develop in my game. Like, obviously, I have more work to do. But right. Yeah, that's pretty much what I could do, playing mainly like a 2-iron and things like that, just always getting the double team. So
sure.
I want to do more moves, but just got to be patient.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So obviously you were at the Senior Bowl here recently. I know that was kind of your first dip into the whole NFL exposure with coaching staffs, agents, you know, scouts, everything. It was probably a whirlwind for you, but obviously you had a big week there. I think you did a really great job of answering a lot of the questions, you know, playing multiple, you know, roles, playing three tech, nose tech. You did a lot of different things there. Can you just kind of review that week, you know, take us down the whole week for the, from where it started, how it ended from you, just the progressions you made and some of the things you learned that week.
Right. So man, I thought it was a solid week just to be able to learn and then just compete against the best seniors in the in college football. So I just going in there, just trying to show my abilities. And then at the same time, just what you said, like showing things that like that I needed to work on, like basically with questions, I guess, and just trying to prove them wrong, I guess. And then just continuing to show like what I was capable to do, like being an undersized D tackle and still being able to show my power and my violent hands. Like I felt I was able to do that throughout the week at Alabama, at Mobile. So
and definitely a great experience. On top of that, with the meetings with the coaches and stuff like that, meeting with teams, I mean, we used to go down every single year. We weren't down this year for obvious reasons. With those obvious reasons, you know, what was the experience like meeting with teams? Was it all over Zoom? Because, like, we're used to just seeing coaches grab dudes and take them out to dinner, and that's how they get it done. But obviously that wasn't probably allowed this year. So what were the team meetings like, you know, in the off time when you weren't at practice?
Yeah, so we were in groups. So basically, like, each team. So I was on the American team, and then we'd have we met with 31 teams because the Rams weren't there. So we met with the rest of the teams, yeah. And then there was like that big screening sealable,
right. The plastic,
yeah. So like we just took like each player had 15 minutes with each team, just being able to answer questions and things like that. And then so we were able to meet with all the teams that were at the Senior Bowl.
I don't know if you're able to touch on it or dive into it anymore, but like, is there any meetings with those teams that might have stood out as like, oh, I felt like that went, you know, really good. Like they seemed to be very interested. Was there any like meetings with those scouts or anything that really stood out to you?
I thought the Colts, the Seahawks went well. The Bears were. I thought that went well. The Bills was good. Like everyone is pretty much asking like the same questions, but
right.
Some of those teams like felt like we had like a good connection.
Cool. Yeah, good deal. And again, like Dalton said, like we're normally there and it's so hectic because I think you guys stayed in the same hotel. So normally there's like all the team scouts and then there's us who just like are annoying the crap out of people while the teams are trying to annoy the crap out of you guys. So it's like, it's always just so insane. Like we just sit around the donut table and are like, all right, let's go talk to him and him and him. We'll go in the film room, watch film. And it's like, it's cool. The first time you go as like a media member, I mean, obviously as a player, it's completely different, but the first time you go as a media member, you're just like wide eyed and like, oh my God, this is so cool. But I'm sure it was a lot different this year. Obviously we didn't make it down. We wish we could have, but I'm sure it was a lot different and probably a lot less stressful on you guys. Cause you didn't have idiots like me and Dalton trying to talk to you the whole time.
Nah, yeah, it for sure sound different. Like we have more downtime to just go rest up in the hotel and get treatment. So it sounds a lot less hectic than what you guys are used to.
Yeah. You know, with that, when do you guys get the playbooks? And then, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, we always, you know, kind of talk to them about, you know, what the concepts they're going to be running depending on what the teams are. But it's pretty dumbed down defensively, correct? Like there's not blitzing or anything like that. So is it just a lot of just solid, you know, technique, or were you guys one gapping or two gapping for the American team? Did you guys do a little bit of both? Were they trying to look at both, or how does that go?
All right. So we got our playbooks that Monday, I believe Monday or Tuesday. And yeah, we just basically had like a base defense, like no pressures or anything.
Right.
So all just playing like a four man front with a one gap defense. So like no stenting or nothing. So pretty much just base defense. Yeah. Just trying to beat the guy in front of you pretty much.
Yeah. And what's that like with when you're not able to really there's no diversion. There's no magic to what you're doing defensively. Does it, do you take a little bit more pride when it's just, you know, the guy in front of you and you're going, or do you like to be a little bit deceptive and run stunts and stuff?
I mean, like, I felt like that was pretty much like what they were trying to do to us, just show us like just here's our base defense and go show us what you can do pretty much. So I think that's probably like a test or something. I don't know. And like probably not trying to hurt the quarterback or anything. So yeah. I think they're just being smart.
There is a few reps from you on 7-on-7 and team drills where you could have had a couple sacks, and that's got to be so hard when you get that clean shot at a quarterback. You're like, well, can't hit him. So I know watching some of the team drill film, I was like, oh, there's a sack. And it was like, it's always funny to see you guys be like, oh crap, I can't hit him.
it's basically like a regular practice at school.
Right.
Trying to keep the quarterback safe and always making smart decisions when you're going against your teammates.
Sure. Sure. The next question I had, so obviously there is I don't know how the players kind of see this, but is guys who evaluate the draft and do a lot of, you know, analysis on it. The offensive line group this year is fantastic. Tackles, guards, really good centers. And there was a ton of those good top guys in Mobile. Was there any matchups that stood out, you know, from you that you're like, man, that guy can really play, like he's going to be a good player in the league. And then the flip side of it, I was going to ask, is there anybody else that was on your squad outside of yourself where you were like, man, that guy, you know, maybe a defensive lineman playing next year or whatever, just some people that might've stood out in Mobile that really stood out to you as good players.
Yeah. So on my team offensively, I thought, David Moore from Grambling State. I thought he was a pretty good football player. And then, obviously, on the opposite side, I was going against Creed Humphreys. And I thought he was a good football player. And then, in general, I mean, Cam Sample did his thing at the Senior Bowl. So, on the D-line, across next to me. So, like, those are the players that pretty much stood out to me.
For sure, for sure.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury. Not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Well, Quinman, I wanted to move on, get into your career at USC. I wanted to talk a little bit about your recruiting process first. Coming out of high school, you were a big-time recruit, had a lot of interest from a lot of schools. I know you originally committed to Washington, being from that area. I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. And then you transitioned to USC. Can you talk about a little bit of your recruiting process, how that all unfolded and how it went down for you?
Yeah, so like you said, I guess I was a big-time recruit. Just basically from everyone on the Pac-12 pretty much. And then committed to Washington, great school, great coaches. Coach P was a great guy. I felt like I was comfortable with him. and I was like, felt like I was going to develop under him and their guys. And then I was raised in California, but went to high school in Oregon. So like just being closer to my family and things like that, I thought it was best to just go back home and play for USC. And then that was also my dream school growing up. So after like a little more thinking, like I just thought USC was probably the best move for me.
So did you have any interest in getting outside of the Pac-12? Because I feel like so often guys that grow up on the West Coast really do stay on the West Coast and play for the Pac-12. Did you have any interest in you know, spreading out and going, you know, to the SEC, or was it always, you know, kind of staying towards home, being around family and going to obviously the school that you grew up rooting for?
Right. Just because I committed pretty early in the process, I think I committed like my junior year. So like I didn't have time to like really think about other schools, but if I like never committed so soon, I would have gave like schools farther, like in the SEC or ACC or Big 12, like more chances. I feel like I would have gave them a much better chance to see if I would fit in with their schools as well.
Did you, I know you said that you grew up in California, you know, USC was your dream school. Did you follow a NFL team growing up?
Not really. Just following like good players, I guess.
Right.
But ever since the Rams came back to LA, like I was a big LA Rams fan.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
They were the one team that didn't show up to the Senior Bowl.
Nah, yeah. It is what it is. They had their reasons, but yeah, that was my team growing since they came to LA. Nice.
I know we talked about it a little bit, but obviously you played a lot of like one technique, zero tech at USC, playing that big nose tackle role. You know, when you turn on your tape, you see Attic, and obviously we talked about being able to hold up against the run, being able to play the run really well, I think, one of the best run defending defensive tackles in this class. But also you did show a lot as a pass rusher. I know you said you're kind of working on adding some more moves, you know, refining some of that technique, but you showed like the motor is probably the best motor in this class, and just like the push you're able to get as far as with your bull rush and stuff like that, you showed that a ton too. We talked a little bit about being able to play that three, play the one a lot as well. I know you played the one a lot at USC the last few years. Are you more comfortable playing one or the other? Do you think you can, you know, obviously we think you can do both. Where are you kind of seeing yourself fitting in as a transition to the NFL?
Like basically whatever team chooses, like drafts me or signs me and things like that, like wherever they want me to play at, I'll play at. So like whether that's the one or the three, like I love to play both. Like I can't really say like I have a particular favorite, but like just whatever the team needs pretty much.
So, you know, going back to your career at USC a little bit, when it comes to, you know, you obviously had a couple of injuries in 2017. What was that like to go through and feel like, you know, you're getting playing time, you're a freshman, and then having to sit out, you get the red shirt? What was it like, you know, once that red shirt happened? What was your plans to then? Did you have any surgeries with the back or anything? And what was the injury in general?
Yeah, so 2017, like just getting ready to play and all that. And then like that back injury you said I had, and then I had that did require surgery. That was definitely something tough that happened in my life. Just being away from football for so long, it's been the first major injury that I've ever had. So that was definitely tough. But once things like unravel and things like that, it was like I understood like that was something I couldn't control. So it was just trying to just get back as soon as possible. So just rehabbing every day, just trying to get back to my usual self and hopefully get back to the playing field.
Yeah, and then, you know, after that, you played 12 games in 2018 and 2019. You've been able to stay healthy. You obviously were productive, you know, 4.5 sacks as a, you know, a redshirt freshman, you know, for a defensive tackle is nothing to scoff at. What is it like, you know, obviously you had Jay Tufele, you know, beside you. What's it like to play, you know, around other NFL talent, you know, at the defensive side of the ball?
Yes, shout out to Jay, man. That's my guy right there. But yeah, Jay's like a solid player, man. Like we grew up like in high school just getting recruited and all that. So I've known Jay before going to USC and just know what type of player he is and what he brings to the table, just of like how powerful and explosive he is. Like you know, that just makes you want to go harder yourself. Like, it's just motivation. That's what it was for me, pretty much. And I felt like we were just trying to get each other better at the end of the day.
Yeah. And then, you know, off of that, you know, when did it really click that, like, I'm going to be an NFL player? Is it something that, like, you've just always had that confidence? Obviously, you've obviously wanted to always be an NFL player. But when did it click that, like, this is a reality for me?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's always been a goal of mine. Growing up as a kid, I always wanted to play one day play in the league. But, like, this past season was probably the season where, like, I felt like I had the most confidence to do some, like, with this football stuff, like, being able to take my talents to, like, the next level, like, being able to play in the next level. So, and I felt like I showed, like, a little bit of that this past season.
Was it a certain game, a certain rep, like, was there, like, a moment that happened where you're like, okay, like, I know that this is something that's going to, you know, hopefully be my next career, you know, like, or was it just something, like you said, you just build up confidence, you had year on top of year, and you were like, yeah, I'm building what I want to build, like, this is going to work out?
Yeah, so pretty much both, like, just having built up confidence from the years, like, slowly seeing my progression over the seasons, and then this past quarantine, like, not having football, like, that just made me want to grind harder and just helped me, like just want to be able to focus on the things that I needed to focus on from previous seasons. So just having that time off to really just focus on myself and get my become a better football player, I was able to show that, like, off the first game too. So sure. Just seeing, like, that first game against Arizona State, I felt like I had a pretty dominant football game against them, and that's where I was like, oh yeah, like, this is something I could really do.
Awesome. I always like hearing that, because it's always like a game or something like that, like a snap throughout a game that guys are like, that's kind of when it clicked for me. And that's cool to hear. Dalton, do you have anything else you want to hit on before we kind of go to the next subject?
I don't think so.
Cool. All right. So I always love this portion of the interviews more than anything, because, you know, I like learning about you guys without the football helmet on. So, like, things you like doing outside of football. What are your hobbies outside of football? What do you like to do? Do you have anything that you're super invested in that you do outside of playing football and training for it?
Yeah, I mean, I like just relaxing and hanging out with friends and family. And then we'd always go play basketball. So I had, like, my cousin, Thalanoa, the safety, and then my little brother play with me this past season. So we'd always go play basketball together, and then it'd get super competitive. And then we'd always go run Warzone on Call of Duty. So
let's go. Now you're speaking my language, baby.
So I'm a big Warzone fan, and we just be trying to get dubs every day.
Mm-hmm. So you still playing a lot in your free time, or is it kind of slowed
right
down
now? Not as much, just because I'm trying to focus on this pro day stuff. So But once things, like, calm down, then I'm gonna start hopping back on for sure.
There you go. We're gonna have a new map soon, man. It's gonna be nuts. Yeah. You finally get out of Verdansk. that's all awesome, right, to hear. I that's how I spend my free time as well. My it's watching film, but I'm always at my desk because I have my computer that I'm playing Warzone on as well.
You're a PC player?
I'm a PC player now, man. I made the upgrade. It's well worth it. It's the field of view. It's the time to kill. It's all better. It's all better. It really is.
You're probably a good Warzone player then. I might need you on the team.
No, I'm trash, but I'm a good teammate, so we can do that. No, I play with a bunch of dudes that really like to frag out, and they just run around Superstore, and I would rather take it a little bit slower, you know, work on getting the dub, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about winning.
Right, exactly.
You go into Superstore and you die within 35 seconds, that ain't going to happen. But, you know, when you're playing basketball, especially, you know, with your cousin and your brother, I know from playing basketball and football, you know, when I was in high school and, you know, even a little bit, you know, in college, the first time I tried to go to college, it got physical with the football players quite a bit. Do you guys actually play basketball, or do you play football on the basketball court?
I mean, like, I want to say I play actual basketball. You know, I got a little talent on me when it comes to but yeah, just playing against my little brother and my cousin, like, those guys are super competitive. So, like, we never want to lose to each other. And, like, so we just try to just go out there and win, pretty much.
Did you guys play any other sports in high school? Did you play basketball in high school?
Actually, I wrestled in high school.
Yeah, we knew you wrestled.
I was getting ready to get into the whole wrestling thing.
Right, but always played outside of wrestling when I'd have time, like in the spring or something. I'd always go play basketball with my family and friends for sure.
Nice.
So how much of wrestling helped your football game? We talked offensive linemen, a lot of offensive linemen, defensive linemen were wrestlers. Right. And they say that a lot of it does help with just, you know, knee bend and, you know, certain leverage situations. Like, how much did wrestling, and I hear from what I can read and what I see, like, you were a really good wrestler. What impact has that had on your game as an interior defensive lineman?
Right. Yeah. So with me, it helped like more with my hands, like having more violent hands, and then just understanding the body more, like just being able to like torque the body a certain way to my advantage. That's something I learned from wrestling. And then leverage as well, just like understanding the body. Just trying to control them and stuff like that. Continuing to like try to anchor down and things like that. I did wrestling just to help me with football.
Oh, so, really?
And yeah, so I thought it was a great investment for sure.
Cool. So the only reason you got into wrestling was to help with football?
Yeah. If I didn't know about like wrestling or anything, I'd probably be playing basketball.
Really?
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So did you ever think, like, you sound like you're pretty good at basketball too. Did you ever think about pursuing a basketball career in college?
I'm big body and too short, you know, but yeah. I take pride in my defense and rebounding for sure.
Okay.
That box out game. That was my entire game in high school was defense and, you know, I'm not as much rebounding cause I'm only 5'11", but I tried to do my best to box out so I could rebound.
Right.
You know, outside of, you know, when you're hanging out with your family and friends, you know, obviously you have a lot of talent, you know, physically in the family. What do you guys do when you're just hanging out? Do you guys do cookouts? Is it, you know, just hanging around? You know, obviously you guys play Warzone. What do you guys do as a family most of the time?
Yeah, so my family was pretty religious growing up. So we'd always be at church and be with my church family. Like my church family is pretty like pretty much the guys like I grew up with. Mm-hmm. And just being, that's like who I'm like closely to this day. So just being around my church family, like we always have cookouts and things like that, or like go to the park and have like gatherings or play volleyball, basketball, and then just having fun, water balloon fights. Like that's what I grew up on pretty much.
It was one big community growing up for you. It sounds like that's always nice. That's always nice.
I've seen a lot of videos and doing a lot of research, you know, and background stuff. It seems like you're a really athletic dude for, you know, 300-pound defensive lineman. Do you have any goals set in mind as we're wrapping up kind of for your pro day, maybe something you're going to run, something you're going to jump? I know I've seen some pretty impressive box jump videos of you from your earlier days at USC.
Man, just trying to just go out there and dominate my pro day pretty much. It's like just having some putting out good numbers and just continue to be here at Exos and continue to get better every day. I don't think I have like a specific goal, but I just want to show scouts that my athleticism for sure.
Cool.
Well,
cool, Dalton. You got anything else before we get him out of here?
No, let's get him out of there so he can have a little downtime and go back to practice probably or do something like that. I guess it's Sunday, so do you have the rest of the day off?
Yeah, I'm just hanging out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. I always like to close with this. It is a question, but it's what I like to close with. So fan bases, teams, when they draft, when they turn in Marlon Tuipulotu's card, what are they getting in that player?
Well, y'all for sure going to get a hard worker, someone with accountability. And then when it comes to the football field, y'all going to see a grimy football player, a violent football player that's able to do the dirty work. So whatever y'all give me, I know I can handle it.
Awesome. Man, I love that you use the term grimy right there. That's what I'm taking from this. Marlon is a grimy football player. That's what I want my D tackles, baby.
I thought he I said – did you say grimy or grindy?
Grimy, yeah.
Okay. He said grimy.
I'm not like talking, but on the field for sure. That's something I try to go out there and do every day.
For sure. Well, cool. I appreciate it, man. This is a great interview. Really, really excited to kind of watch the pro day, obviously, see you develop throughout these next few weeks, next few months, and then draft day is right around the corner. So can't wait to see where you end up. And thank you so much for coming on.
No, I appreciate you guys. Yeah, have a good one.
You too, man.
Yep.
We want to thank Marlon so much for coming on the show. We were excited to have him on, as he is one of the top, you know, 7 or 8 defenses. There's your dog in the background.
Oh, you see her?
Yeah. Hey. She was like, yep, Marlon is a top 7, 8 defensive tackle in this class.
She knows.
Yeah, it's tough because this defensive tackle class isn't great, but I do like a lot of these guys in that second, third round range. And I think that's where he kind of fits in really well. Obviously, you see him, you pick him up a lot when you're watching his teammate Jay. So he's a lot of fun. He could play. He's probably better suited for that 3-tech role, a guy who's going to be a strong run defender in that 3-tech role, who can also provide some pass rush in that one gapping scheme, which, as we know, as Cowboys fans, that makes a lot of sense here.
Especially, and it makes sense, especially because the Cowboys are going to be running a one gapping gap right. control scheme. And with the gap control, that means that instead of really trying to get upfield and finding, you know, those 280 pound three techniques, the 300 to 305 pound three techniques that can hold up against the run, that's where, you know, Marlon's going to fit in really right. well if he ends up being a Cowboy.
And, you know, the thing with the defensive tackles currently on the roster is they're kind of their three techniques who they can, like, they're trying to play the one with Neville Gallimore and Tristan Hill. And I think with Marlon, you would have a guy who's probably a one technique that can also play the three. And I think if that's the route they go, where they don't go the Aleem McNeil, who's just a pure one tech or like something like that, a guy like Marlon Tuipulotu is like a perfect fit. So, you know, I think he's a great fit for Dallas. Obviously a great fit for any 4-3 team looking for a guy who can play some versatile roles in that defense. But we talked about his athleticism. We talked about the power he possesses, the leverage he plays with to eat those double teams and really be a really – I mean, again, outside, you know, I think Aleem McNeil's a really strong run defender, but Marlon might be the next best run defender at that three technique role. So
I have a question for you about that. Like, do you like him or Jay more?
It's funny because I almost tweeted this the other day. I was like, because it seems consensus on the internet.
It does, right?
And I don't know that I'm that same way. Like, they're super close for me.
Well, and it's interesting because I think that they play really similarly overall. Right. I think Jay might be a little bit more finesse. And I think that's why a lot of people like that, because you see him getting off of blocks and making, you know, plays, you know, outside of the tackle box, you know, 1-2 yards down the field. I think overall, like on a play-to-play basis, man, Marlon is really, really good at just doing his job.
His motor is holding nuts. Up,
and his motor is very, very nice. So, I mean, I do. I like both of them kind of in that same vein.
Yep. I agree with everything you just said. And again, he's more athletic than I think he gets credit for, because he played that nose tackle role and, like, did a lot of the dirty work. So I think if he played in more of Jay's role, you might have the opinions on him flipped possibly. But again, I think that shows a lot that he was able to kind of slide in, do a lot of that dirty work from that 0-1 technique spot. But yeah, we're excited to have him on again. Anytime we can get these guys on, especially guys that we think the Cowboys should be interested in, we enjoy having them on, because we know a lot of the people listening to this are Cowboys fans and interested in the prospects that the Cowboys should and could be interested in. So thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the Blogging the Boys podcast feed on whatever podcast platform you're using. Make sure you give a good review, give us a like, and then make sure you subscribe, because that's the only way you're going to make sure you get these podcasts anytime they're uploaded. So we have a lot of guys already in the books, and we have a lot more coming up. So we will have podcasts coming out every Wednesday and Sunday. Make sure you tune in, check them out, and let us know what you think. Thank you guys so much for listening. We are Talking the Draft.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.